And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad that you were able to make it out tonight. I don't believe I've ever titled a lesson that I have taught, but this one I have a title of, and I've called it A Real Life Good Samaritan. And tonight I would like to, for a few minutes, tell you a story of an encounter that Kayla and I and Flynn had about a year ago. I would like to compare it to some scripture that it reminded me of, that being the account of the Good Samaritan. And then I would like to go over several things that I learned from meeting this person and how I believe it has bettered my life, and I would hope that it could better yours as well. So it's been a little over a year ago that Kayla and I and Flynn were on our way to Harrison, Arkansas for the birthday party of my best friend's daughter. And on the way over there, we got to about Viola, and Flynn started complaining and saying he was feeling sick. At that time, that was not uncommon. He does not like to travel, and he had used that several times to get us to pull over and get him out of the car. So I didn't think a whole lot of it, but I would look in the rearview mirror, and I would talk to him and to make sure he didn't look green and keep driving. Between Viola and Henderson, Arkansas, he brought it up three or four times, each time me checking on him and deciding he was not actually sick. We got to the Henderson post office, for those of you that know where that's at, and he said one more time that he was feeling awful sick, but this time it was different. He was kind of crying and whimpering, and it just sounded, you know, parents notice a difference in their kid's voice. He sounded different. And I looked in the mirror, and he was as green as he could be, and I knew I'd waited too long. I'm quickly looking for a place to pull over, and there's not a lot of good places to pull over in that area. But I found a driveway, came to an urgent stop, and as I did, I think the forward momentum was enough to do him in, and he threw up pretty severely. I'm jumping out of the front door of the car, going to the back seat to get him out. He is an awful mess. And he, at that time, he was still in one of those car seats where all the buckles is on his chest. So I'm trying to get him unbuckled and get him out so that we can clean things up and get on our way. And as I'm doing that, he throws up again. And I, as a father, I just decide it's better in the ditch than in the car, so I just catch it all and get rid of that. And I get him out of the car finally. We're on the side of the road. It's very busy that day. It's a Friday afternoon. There is a ton of traffic going towards the lake. And move him to the other side of the car. Kayla proceeds to start undressing him, and I'm trying to get the car seat cleaned up enough that we can continue. I should mention that we were in my vehicle, not Kayla's, which means it's not the mommy mobile, and I did not have all of the normal cleaning supplies and extra clothes that we should have had. So we're doing all we can with the leftover McDonald's napkins we had and a few bags that were in the floorboard of the car. And I'm quickly getting frustrated. I don't know why it set in that way, but I'm personally getting frustrated and kind of angry at the situation that I'm in, and probably wasn't being as nice of a father as I should have been in for the circumstances. About that time, a police officer and an ambulance comes by with their sirens on, and everyone on this road pulls over on the sides of the road to get out of their way. And across the road from us, a van pulls over, and she rolls her window down, and it's an older woman, and she yells at us, "Did he get sick?" And she's pointing towards Flynn. And I just kind of agreed with her. I said, "Yes, he threw up." and probably wasn't being very nice to her because what are you going to help me? How are you going to help me? And she does a U-turn in the road and pulls over in the ditch next to us. I, not knowing this woman at all, didn't know what I was about to get into. And she gets out of the van and she immediately starts, she comforts Flynn. She says some nice things to him, tells him it's okay, mommy and daddy are doing a good job. So she's encouraging and being uplifting. She goes to the back of the van, opens it up, and she had everything a person would ever need to clean up a mess. She had brand new rolls of paper towels, wet wipes. I don't know what all she had in there, but she got out what we needed. And she handed it to us, and we proceeded to clean things up. And she says, hang on, I've always got extra clothes in here for a kid. And I'm starting to wonder how we got sent with such a miraculous woman here. And she's digging around in the van while we're cleaning up, and she comes out, and she's upset. She said, somebody's took my clothes out of this car, and she said, I'm really sorry. I said, well, you ain't got nothing to be sorry about. You've done more than enough to better my day. And I should mention, the minute that she did all that, I realized how silly, kind of silly and wrong I was being for being angry at the situation I was in. Her kindness and compassion really changed my mood and Kayla's, and really she did a wonderfully nice thing in a time of need where I didn't need a lot, but I needed one thing, and that is what she had to give. As she got in the van to drive away, she left us the cleaning supplies. She did not ask for it back. And as she was leaving, she told Kayla and I that we were doing a wonderful job of raising a son. As she drove away, I do not know this woman. I'm not sure I'd recognize her again if I run into her at the Walmart. But she has impacted me greatly, and I have thought about what she did for us that day for the last year. And here's a few things that I would like to go over. First off, if you're not already there, turn to Luke chapter 10, where our scripture reading came from. And I'm going to read with you verses 30 through 37. And this is part of the account of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down from that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what compassion is and what it means and how it affects a person. But he saw him and he had compassion. Verse 34. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, or 2 pence, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. I'll jump back up there to verse 33, where we read how the Samaritan had compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer together. It is the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and you feel motivated to relieve them of that suffering. Both the woman that I met and the Samaritan both showed compassion. They were motivated, they had that urge to do something to relieve someone of their suffering. My suffering not being as great as the person that was mugged on the side of the road, but nonetheless, I was in need of something and so was he. They both showed compassion and they both took, that compassion led them to take action. The woman that I met, it led her to take the action of providing us with the goods that she had to give, that I needed. And the Samaritan giving of, starting in verse 34 there, he bandaged him, he poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. That Samaritan, he gave up of his ride. He went from riding to walking to help this man. They took him to an inn. He cared for him there. He spent the night with him there. and continued to take care of him by providing the innkeeper with the money for their stay and the promise to pay for everything that this man needed for his healing. The Samaritan went way out of his way to help somebody that he had never met, and he did it because he had compassion for this man. Jesus is a wonderful example of someone showing compassion. Several passages in Scripture tell us of how Jesus showed compassion. Just a few of these is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, we read of the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And in verse 14 of Matthew 14, we read there that Jesus had compassion on the people there and he healed them. We're not told exactly what he did for them in that manner, but they obviously had some ailments or something that they needed help with, and Jesus had compassion for them and healed them there. And we also go on, as we know, and we read where how he fed them later on in that chapter. And continuing on in Matthew in chapter 15, in verse 32, we read again of Jesus showing compassion on the multitude. In 15:32, he had compassion on the multitude that had been with him for 3 days and they had not eaten. These people had spent a lot of time with Jesus. They had followed him, they had listened to him, and they wanted to be with him, and they had nothing to eat. They were beginning to be very hungry. Jesus, as we know, then performed the miracle and he fed them there. Jesus loved those that he met. He loved the people, had compassion for them, he had care for them, as should we to our neighbors. Down in verse 36 of Luke chapter 10 that we were in, it reads, "So which of these do you think was neighbor of him who fell among the thieves?" In the Bible, we read of the passage, and you have all heard it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That is written in the Bible 8 different times. We also read to love one another 13 times. When something is repeated over and over again in Scripture, I can't help but believe that it's being emphasized for a reason. It is being constantly put in Scripture for us to apply to our lives and for us to read over and over again the benefits and the reasons for why we should do that. We as Christians should show care and love and concern for our neighbors and for the people that we are around and the people that we meet. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 8 and 9. And as you turn there, these two verses here, they describe to us how we are to treat our brothers and sisters, or as I like to think of it, as our neighbors. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, read, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another." There's that word again, compassion. "Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." We are to be compassion. We should have compassion for one another. We should love each other as brothers, be tenderhearted and courteous. And if someone is doing evil things towards you, we are not to return the evil. We are to be better than that. We are not to return evil for evil. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I don't know about how your Bible is laid out, but in my Bible, it gives me bold like titles above certain passages of Scripture to help me understand what I'm reading and what this Scripture is about. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, I have the title of "Behave Like a Christian" written there. And I'm going to read all of these verses, 9 through 21, if you would follow along with me. This is how we are to behave as a Christian. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he is thirsty, you give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There is a lot to learn in those few verses there. A person could do a series of sermons on that passage there of how a Christian is to behave. But a Christian in these verses is asked to behave in many different ways. We are not to be a hypocrite. We need to act like a Christian at all times. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it tells us to let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, unwittingly entertained angels. You never know who you are helping. You never know who you are dealing with. And it is good for us to remember that we cannot hide anything from God. Behave like a Christian and behave like one at all times in your life. A Christian is to be loving. A Christian is to be kind. He is to be affectionate. He is to be hospitable. He is to be compassionate. And he is to be humble. Romans chapter 12, if I had to sum it up in a few words, I would say this. You are to do your best as a Christian to live peaceably with all men and to do good. Another thing that I learned from this woman in the short amount of time that I spent with her is that small acts of kindness can make a big difference. Her small act of compassion and kindness, it has made me a better person in the last year. It has made me think about how I treat others or how I can help someone, even if that is in a very small way. Don't ever think that your small act of kindness is not going to make a difference or that it didn't make a difference in someone's life. Tonight, what I would like you to take away from this lesson is that I would like you to not pass up any opportunity that you have to do good, whether that be very small or large. Show compassion towards those that you meet, because you never know that when your example will be the example that changes a person's life. The woman that I met that day, she had probably no intention of changing my life or making me think differently about how I was living my life. But the fact that, and I would have never thought that a roll of paper towels would have made that much difference, but it did. It has made me be conscious of how I am acting as a father. It has made me think about how to be kind to others and what little bit I can do from time to time. And that is what I would like for all of you to leave tonight thinking about, is what can I do for someone and how can it make a difference? At this time, I would like to offer the invitation. If there is someone here tonight that has been studying the scripture, has been thinking about becoming a Christian, and you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you know that there is sin in your life and that needs to change, and that he died on the cross for your sins, and you're ready to be baptized, I ask that you not wait any longer to make that decision. And if there's someone here tonight that has already started their walk as a Christian and has fell away in any way, if you're struggling with your behavior, if you're struggling with temptation, if you're just not acting as you should, there's no better time than the present to make those changes and to make it right. And we're here to help you and to pray for you and to encourage you, just as that woman encouraged Kayla and I that day. And if you have any need at all, I ask that you make your needs be known as you come forward and as we sing.